Yo, this is the Fat King Madzal saying, you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Ha!
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Christopher Lee Brothers Plumbing and Heating of Albany, wishing everyone a joyous holiday season and happy new year. Red Carpet Service and Solutions since 1939. Information at CRISBRO.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Stephanie Medlock in LaPorte, Indiana. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Tiffany Greenwald-Simon reports for Columbia Green Media that months after the Greene County Legislature extended a large tax break to New Athens Generating Company, the business is petitioning New York's Public Service Commission to approve the sale of the Athens Generating Plant. Delaware-based Gate City NE Generation LLC will become the direct owner, but the story does not say how much the plant sold for. Whatever the number, the former owners are likely to make more since Greene County gave the plant a large tax break that almost had universal opposition from the public. Former Athens legislator and town supervisor Lee Palmateer filed a Article 78 petition with State Supreme Court of Ulster County seeking nullification of the IDA's approval of the tax break in November and said after learning of the sale, and I quote, "One of the purported reasons for financial assistance was to keep the company out of bankruptcy and prevent them from closing their doors," end quote. Palmateer also said he was curious about the sale that came without a formal appraisal of the property. Palmateer said, and I quote, "As far as I know, there's no record of appraisal. I was pushing all along that the appraisal be done and that they shouldn't be begging for tax breaks with no appraisal. The seller is not going to sell without one, and a buyer is not going to buy without one," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that part of the land for the proposed Shepherd's Run solar energy project in Columbia County from Hegate Energy has been sold, creating new questions for its approval. Carryville Farms LLC purchased 60 acres at the corner of Cambridge Road and County Route 7 on January 2nd, part of a proposed 265-acre solar installation near Route 23, Route 7, and Route 11A in Carryville and Copake. Brittany Kenny, Senior Public Affairs Manager with the Martin Group Marketing, which is working with Sensible Solar, a group opposing the project, said, and I quote, "We don't know what this will mean for the future of the project, but we do know it brings everything into question, and we know it throws a monkey wrench into the project," end quote. The town of Copake, immediately after the sale, filed a petition with the New York State of Renewable Energy sitting for an immediate adjournment of two public hearings scheduled for January 9th and January 10th about the proposed solar project and to dismiss Hegate's application as, and I quote, "infeasible and inaccurate," end quote. The newspaper could not get anyone from Hegate's Energy Chicago office to return calls or emails for comment. Kenny said, and I quote, "The farmer who sold the land to the LLC wants it to remain forever agricultural, so the land will remain in active agricultural use," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. News 10 reports that just as it finally feels like winter, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation announced that online registration for the 2024 Summer Camps program will open at 1 p.m. on March 24th. The DEC Summer Camps webpage lets guardians register youth for a week of camp, manage their accounts, and complete required forms and waivers. The DEC has offered the week-long camping trip with conservation education for children ages 11 to 17 for 77 years. And you can read more about this story at the News 10 website. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, January 8th. We are 0.01% of the way through the year. There are 78 days left until the spring equinox. And local early morning temperatures range from 22 degrees in Tannersville to 31 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 34. Snow totals are in. We got 12.2 inches in Rhinebeck, 9 in Upper Red Hook, 8 in Jewett, 7 in Leeds, 6 in Woodstock and Saugerties. Germantown's got 5 and Catskill comes in at 4 inches of snow, which there will not be any more of today. It will be mostly sunny with a high of 38. Overnight temperatures dip to 21 degrees. You get a chance to put away those lawn ornaments and fill those generators because tomorrow things get interesting once again. Expect a dusting in the morning, but also expect a rapid warm-up turning that to rain by the afternoon. I'm not seeing ice hazards yet. However, if that precipitation lands as rain on our 20-degree roads, that could make some nasty icing tomorrow morning. Plan for delays just in case. Up in the mountains, expect a few inches to land before dark and things turn to rain for you as well. Temperatures reach 32 degrees by the evening time and continue to rise overnight, hitting 50 degrees as rain continues into Wednesday, which will then see more lighter rain with decreasing temperatures starting around 48 degrees and ending around 30. Thursday, things dry out and temperatures hit 42 degrees. And just a heads up, you might not want to make plans for Saturday. Believe me, if I could tell you anything else with certainty, I would. Sunset today will be at 4:26 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be slow at 313 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 171. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
2 weeks, 14 days, 326 hours. Every second that your family could be exposed to radiation after a nuclear attack. Radiation that kills.
To survive, a fallout shelter is a necessity. Equipment and supplies are essential.
Now, Survive All Shelters, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, offers a basic equipment kit with
a Conelrad high-powered radio, transistor-operated for long battery life,
a complete, fully stocked first aid kit,
a heavy-duty fire extinguisher, emergency water containers, a chemical toilet for protection against contamination and disease,
extra-strength Saran and Rayon bunks,
a radiation meter and individual dosimeters.
For protection, every second of each hour of every day. See a survive-all shelter now.
Thank you. Tonight, we'll take a look at the music industry and try to see what happened.
I don't know why you're looking for it.
Getting the record on the radio.
That's the title of the big tune.
And it goes like this.
Some promotion men from big record companies use a variety of illegal approaches to get radio play for their records.
Please, whatever job he takes, make sure it's something quiet.
Pop music is not just an ordinary business. With the listeners mean revenues. That best-selling record albums.
It's run by very organized people. Very organized. An amateur like you can't go up against professionals.
But the good qualities. Ethics, you know.
Hey, come on.
You're not serious.
There is no professional ethics.
Because huge amounts of money are at stake.
The question is, how far will they go to achieve their objective?
Getting the record on the radio. Play it again, and again. Fight hard to get their records on the air. Play it again, and again.
On the radio.
On the air. Tight playlist.
On the air.
Top 40.
On the air.
Top 30. Top 20. Or even fewer.
Record business is a business of big winners.
The story begins with a hit single and a hit album and get them on TV.
The vicious game.
Paying them anything, anybody at a radio station, to get a record play.
Run by very organized people. Very organized.
It isn't fair.
Drugs used to get a record played on the radio.
Did you see that kind of thing?
Be bad, be naughty, say it, do it.
Formula for success, getting the record on the radio. Play it again, and again. Fight hard to get their records on the air. Play it again, and again.
You understand that?
On the air, tight playlist.
On the air,
top 40. Top 20.
Next day,
number one, baby.
You are crazy. You can't with these things.
I know I can't, but I did.
It also brings us to the end of the first part. Whatever you do, stay tuned for part two because it's going to be more than exciting. Exciting.
Turn on the radio.
There's no evidence of that, you say. There must be other explanations.
You're in shock. Trust me.
You've got no right to say that.
You all know the rules.
You got a big one. And there are very few. But when you catch a hit, when you catch a big winner, the earnings are incredible.
Getting the record on the radio. Play it again, and again. Fight hard to get their records on the air. Play it again, and again.
Now here again.
Getting the record on the radio. Play it again, and again. Fight hard to get their records on the air. Play it again.
The same thing over and over and over again.
On the air. Tight playlist.
On the air.
Top 40.
On the air.
Top 30. Top 20.
Well, congratulations.
I just killed your f***ing radio.
Normal programs will be interrupted to give later on the spot reports if they are received. Meanwhile, we go back to our scheduled program.
Now, there's a song, Post, that was written probably about 40 years ago. And we find ourselves right now in the midst of struggling for the salvation of democracy in our country. What were we asleep all the years that we heard that song and songs like it? Over those 40 years, did we not heed the messages that were entered into those lyrics and what they were trying to say to us about what we are experiencing now. So now we're at a place where we are struggling, really. And it's very serious. Some of us take democracy for granted, or whatever is. Whatever is, isn't. And we're finding out that we are on the verge of losing our democracy. So let's pay more attention to what we mean when we say that we are a democracy. Because in my experience, we've been a democracy for some, certainly not for all of our so-called citizens. So when people are protesting around things such as equity and democracy, hear the message, hear what they're saying, and hear what these protests are about. And they're also about these brave men and women who fought in these wars, who will not have died in vain if we let democracy slip away. So let's just try and pay a little sensitivity to the experience. Mine being greater because of my years on the planet. But maybe to get a hold on what mine was, you should go back and read some history about how we have evolved over the years in the struggle to sustain democracy in our country. I'll play a few songs now that have to do with the actual war experience. This one is by Golden Earring. It's called Twilight Time. Remember it?
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Just a quote, we'll shut down the government, we control the money. We didn't say that. House Republicans said it this week. I've been taught to believe what people tell you and what they show you. And there are a growing number of House Republicans with this mindset.
White House Office of Budget and Management Director Shalanda Young says she was one of many uncertain if a budget deal could be reached before a government shutdown. But yesterday, House and Senate leaders announced the outlines of a general spending agreement. The deal, about $1.6 trillion, includes almost $900 billion for defense and about $700 billion for non-defense spending. That's in line with the debt limit agreement struck last year and accounts for unspent COVID funds, along with $10 billion in new cuts to IRS spending. But it could allow for new border control funds as part of a separate negotiation. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson says America has reached a breaking point on immigration.
Our communities are overrun. We have local resources that are being strapped. We have lethal drugs that are pouring into our country at record levels. And it's in less than 3 years that President Biden took office that this has happened.
Some Republican hardliners who want to use the budget deadline as leverage to get a return to Trump-era border restrictions and deep spending cuts sound enraged. Texas Congressman Chip Roy used an obscenity to describe the agreement and insisted it be quoted. Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court said it would review Colorado's 14th Amendment ballot ban of former President Donald Trump. Since then, speculation by legal observers has been all over the map. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Bennett says it's not as straightforward as some seem to think.
In my view, when you have these questions of fact and law, it's the job of the courts to figure that out. It's not the job of one politician to make that call.
Two states have struck Trump from the ballot for leading an insurrection, with those actions stayed awaiting a Supreme Court ruling. Courts in three other states have initially ruled against similar moves, and about 20 have the issue pending or on appeal. Marking the third anniversary of the January 6th attack on the Capitol, President Joe Biden reaffirmed his intention to put the defense of American democracy, which he calls sacred, on the ballot this year.
We'll defend the truth, not give in to the big lie. We'll embrace the Constitution and the Declaration, not abandon it. We'll honor the sacred cause of democracy, not walk away from it.
Former President Donald Trump is accusing Biden of fear-mongering, but Attorney General Merrick Garland notes the dangers are very real, noting public servants face increasingly violent threats.
In just the final months of 2023, the department investigated and charged individuals with making violent threats against FBI agents, federal judges, including a Supreme Court justice, presidential candidates, members of Congress, members of the military, and election workers.
Last week, hoax bomb threats disrupted business at more than a dozen state capitals over 2 days. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Well, there are two different... You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief order released Friday, January 5th, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear the appeal on February 8th of former President Donald Trump disputing his pending disqualification from the Colorado presidential primary ballot. Notably, the court opted not to hear a similar appeal by the Colorado Republican Party, only the appeal from Trump himself. Trump's lawyers contend the issue of eligibility for the ballot is a decision for Congress, not state courts. They also argue that, quote, it was not insurrection and President Trump in no way engaged in insurrection, unquote. High Court oral arguments have been scheduled for February 8th, but Colorado Secretary of State announced Friday she had already certified the ballot with Trump's name to meet the election schedule. Should the disqualification be upheld, she suggested in a CNN interview, it would be handled as if a candidate had withdrawn from the race and those votes would not be counted. Trump also last week appealed his disqualification from the Maine primary to Maine Superior Court, contending the Maine Secretary of State lacked the authority to make the decision and disputing he engaged in insurrection. Groups of voters in Illinois and Massachusetts have also joined the fray, filing suits claiming Trump is ineligible for the ballot based on the 14th Amendment. We have links to articles, Trump's appeals, and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Sign up for our daily newsletter at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
A solution to rural New York's housing problems could lie in manufactured homes. A 2023 report finds manufactured homes comprise around 2.5% of New York's housing stock. In rural counties, this jumps to more than 10%. Local and state groups have been working to improve this form of housing. Ben Carver with Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services says the benefits of manufactured homes boil down to economics.
Manufactured houses are substantially less expensive than a traditional stick-built home. They offer, by and large, the same amenities, unless we're talking about a mansion of some kind, right? They cost less to build. The installation process is, you know, maybe a month as opposed to a year for a stick-built home.
He notes the stigma of living in aged trailers has kept people from pursuing this kind of housing, but Carver feels the industry has turned a corner, with modern manufactured homes bearing little resemblance to what they once were. These stereotypes can often cloud the real challenges this housing can face, such as exploitative landlords and deferred maintenance practices. In 2021, INHS bought Albles Trailer Park and has been transforming it into Compass MHC. The work on this project has been arduous since this is new territory for INHS. Carver notes this project differs from others in that developments usually start from scratch.
What we were doing and what we still are doing is this huge infrastructure project. I mean, it means turning the ground inside out so we can replace sewer mains and water mains and electrical infrastructure and then paving on top of that. But we're doing it all within the context of someone's home and their driveway and their lawn.
He adds INHS is looking to work on other manufactured home projects in the future and is on the lookout for other trailer parks they could improve. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is Will Lawrence, who plays with the Felice Brothers, but also has a solo record from 2022 called Through the Hollow Hills. This song is called The Foggy Veils of Time. The sea beneath the rise.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
A resolution of the City of Albany Common Council calling for a permanent end to violence in Gaza, immediate provisions of sufficient humanitarian aid for Gaza, and sustainable peace and unity.
Mr. Adams for discussion.
Discussion on this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, we'd just like to thank the tremendous support from everyone that turned out here this evening. This has been a two-month-long battle of getting here today to ask for a ceasefire by our council. And the hard work and dedication and just the outpour of the Muslim-Palestinian community here in our city says a lot. And the experiences, the feelings, the sentiments that we've heard over the last few meetings hopefully has not only resonated with myself, but hopefully has resonated and opened your ears to understanding what this group of people are going through at this moment. And I would like for our colleagues this evening to vote on this resolution and support to show this community that we do stand in support with them, that we do hear what they're saying. We want all our residents to know that when they come into these chambers, that their voices are being heard, and it's not only being heard, but the work is being done. So,
Ms. Romero.
Thank you, Mr. President. There have been modifications to this document, and I want to make sure that they're read publicly so that the public can be aware of the document that we are voting on today. Whereas the ongoing war in Gaza has resulted in immense human suffering and loss of life. Whereas the City of Albany is committed to promoting peace, unity, and respect for all its residents. And whereas we recognize and stand in solidarity with our Muslim and Jewish communities, reaffirming our commitment to their safety, security, and well-being. And whereas we share dire concerns with the war in Gaza, in which over 20,000 Palestinians have been killed. And as of December 22, 2023, with the exact amount unknown due to the inability to count the dead as the health system collapses, with another 50,000 injured and several thousands more reported missing and presumed to be dead under the rubble. And whereas we are deeply sympathetic to the 2 million Palestinian civilians who have now been displaced and for the scores of Israeli lives that have been impacted. And whereas the people of Gaza face further devastation from the lack of food, water, sanitation, and other basic necessities, with over 500,000 Gazans reported starving by the United Nations. And whereas we acknowledge Resolution 106-102-23-R from October 16th, which condemns the attacks on Israel that took place on October 7th. And whereas we acknowledge the urgency of the situation and the imperative need for immediate action. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Common Council of Albany, New York calls for an immediate and permanent ceasefire and end to the hostilities in the region, which are causing a horrific loss of Palestinian and Israeli life. And two, we urge for the immediate provisioning of humanitarian aid commensurate with the multiple levels of socioeconomic collapse in Gaza. And three, we urge leaders to prioritize the safety and well-being of all hostages and detainees, recognizing their right to freedom and immediate and unconditional release. And four, we extend our support to diplomatic efforts and initiatives aimed at facilitating a peaceful resolution to the conflict, emphasizing the importance of all parties abiding by established international humanitarian law. And five, we express our unwavering commitment to fostering peace and unity within the City of Albany and representing the voices and concerns of all of its citizens. And six, we stand in solidarity with our Muslim and Jewish communities, affirming our commitment to their safety, security, and inclusion within the fabric of our city. And lastly, seven, we express our sincere hope that the current conflict will be resolved swiftly and peacefully, leading to a just and lasting peace. I'm extremely proud to be an original co-sponsor of this legislation. I think it's extremely important that we're passing this, and I want the City of Albany to know that this document is a ceasefire document, that this document is supporting peace, and that this document is trying to end the war and end the violence. Ceasefire.
Please quiet in them. Further discussion? Ms. Zamer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like all my colleagues, I'm absolutely devastated by the horrors befalling so many innocent Palestinians in Gaza. I can also confidently say that the entire Jewish community, as well as all faith groups in Albany, are equally as devastated by the loss of innocent Muslim lives. I represent a large Jewish community here, many who have family and friends in Israel, even some who know hostages currently being held in Gaza. Countless numbers of them have written us emails, and 500 people signed a petition asking us not to pass this resolution. Not because they support in any way the horrors befalling the Palestinian people, but because Israel was brutally attacked by the terrorist group Hamas. Because they, like I, believe unequivocally that Israel has a right to exist, needs to exist for the Jewish people, and has a right to defend itself. Because I feel this resolution is motivated by an underlying belief that Israel does not have a right to exist, and even a hatred of Israel, I cannot support.
Mr. Ballard and then Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Ballard. This is a very sensitive and very personal issue to many people. So I'm going to ask that we please remember that everyone in this room, in their own way, has had their own pain in their lives. I want to make some things that also clear. I think you can condemn Hamas and still support a ceasefire. I think that this vote doesn't make you anti-Jewish or anti-Muslim. I don't think that is fair to put on anybody. For me, seeing what's going on in this conflict took me to a dark place last week. I had avoided watching the videos. I had avoided reading many of these articles. I had avoided hearing many of these stories. And seeing that really took me to a place where it shamed me. As a human being, that we are still doing this to each other in 2024. That with all of this knowledge, all of this technology, all of these opportunities for intercollectiveness, we're still doing this to ourselves. I support this resolution because when I think of the number of people that have lost their lives in this conflict in the last 3 months, too many children's blood, innocence, and families have been taken away. Too many.
When this conversation first started in this chamber, I wasn't as educated as I am today about the issue. And I'm not as educated as some of the people that I had a chance to listen to. But I had many conversations with many people. I was talking to a teacher friend, and he said, Mr. Johnson, what's going on today, we won't know the full effect of it because these kids are going to grow up. And I'm an educator. When I walk in Giffen Memorial Elementary School, I see kids from all over. And I just think about some of the travesties that I'm hearing about. And so please accept our apology that we didn't communicate with you in October like we communicated with this resolution. It wasn't a slight. It just happened so fast. And so I will be supporting this tonight.
Can the clerk please call the roll?
Adams.
Yes.
Anani.
Yes.
Ballarin.
Yes.
Farrell.
Yes.
Flynn.
No.
Frederick.
Yes.
Hoey. Johnson.
Yes.
Keegan.
Yes.
Kimbrough.
Yes.
Love.
Here.
Robinson.
Yes.
Romero.
Yes.
Zamer?
No.
10 in the affirmative.
The resolution passes. Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of The Rhythm of Rebellion. I'm your host, Taina Sili, and today we have the privilege of diving into the boundless world of music and activism with the ever-brilliant visionary, Toshi Regan. Toshi's extraordinary journey through the world of music has not only left an indelible mark on the sonic landscape, but has also become a force for unity and change. She's a singer, composer, and musician, and master of genres that span from folk to funk, blues to rock, and beyond. She's also a curator, producer, and mentor. Toshi's unique ability to move seamlessly between musical genres and create melodies that carry the essence of human experiences has earned her a distinguished place among musicians and activists. Her expansive career has led her to iconic venues like Carnegie Hall, the Paris Opera House, and Madison Square Garden. But you'll just as easily find her gracing the stages of music festivals, intimate venues, and local clubs. Hi, Toshi. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Taina. How are you?
I am so blessed. It has been such a dream to have you on the show. How did you find your unique voice?
I mean, I think I always had it. I don't remember a time where I was like, and now you have your voice. I just had it. A lot of times parents ask me, you know, how do I get my kid? But you have kids, so, you know, they come out being who they are, and I'm like, don't mess them up.
Truth.
You know, like, don't mess them up. Like, they, you know, they need guidance, and they need, you know, they need to know where they are. But I think really particularly my mom was just astonished by me. Like, she tells me stories about different things I did when I was really little. Like, she told me that she would use a wrap to wrap me around when I was a baby. And then I would lean back as far as I could and look at the look at what's up. And she was like, yeah, you really hurt my side, but I felt like you really needed to look at the sky. I just never knew why. You know, I still am like, you know, I have a kite in my car and I still like, you know, there'll be pictures I post that are just the color of the sky I just happen to look at. I'm still like that. I can't remember too many times when my mom told me to shut up.
Yeah.
Like, in a way that would be devastating to me. I just literally can't remember. I'm sure she did, right? Because I'm sure she did. She didn't play, but I don't remember it, which means whatever way she was communicating for me to be quiet was a way that she was saying, you need to be quiet in this moment versus your voice does not need to be heard. I think I would use the words like grow or get, you know, start to get good at something. You know, I remember when I started to get good at recording, or I started to get good at, you know, being able to record all of the tracks of a song with all the instruments I know how to play. I get good at being a band leader, getting better at those things, learning the craft of different things, learning the craft of booking, learning the craft of presenting and producing. Those are the things I reach for and really intentionally feel like I was like, okay, I want to get good at this.
You are.
I'm good at this.
Getting a chance to witness it.
Thank you.
What advice might you have as a mentor, as an educator, for other emerging artists who are seeking to use their art to address these issues?
If you have an idea that you want to put forward to do it, not to think like any way that you do it is like a wrong way. Like, if it's small and intimate, it's good. If it happens to take like a bunch of jumps and next thing you know, you're doing your work in these different ways, you know, your line of integrity around your heart and around your, you know, life path. When people come into the world as young little babies and then they grow, they see things different from the generations ahead of them. And, you know, as you live, I think you're always grounded in kind of your first snapshots, you know, like with the first things that you, you know, I'm always grounded by the idea of like these. Now, what I now understand is young people kind of making the transition from their being on the front line streets of a civil rights movement and figuring out like how to take care of their families, and all these women who went to school like my mom did. I'm so grounded by the culture of those communities. I saw so many beginnings of things, you know, just being a queer person. I'm really grounded in like, you know, lesbian separatism in some ways, which is not the same as talking about some of the ways that people identify, you know, lesbians who have not been supportive of our relatives in the trans and non-binary communities. It's not mm-hmm. the same. But I really was like seeing it was outrageous. It was just outrageous. You know, they were like, we're going to do a show and no men can come. It was outrageous to a community of people who didn't make space for women at all, at women or children at all, differently able people at all. Like, so once they started getting like these tiny places of being told no, it was really interesting. So I think when you have those snapshots that like really kind of give you identifying things, then it really like opens up over the course of your life why it's important to like have generations that are meeting the moment in the time of their youth to tell you what they're seeing and give voice to them, because they see something different from you, and it's really helpful. Really, really helpful. So I just am aware I'm supposed to be available. I try to have iterations of 10 years, people younger than me, that I'm available for. Like, some of them are like, will you mentor me? Will you do this for me? And then some of them, I just tell me what to do, you know, for them. Right. It's so important. And I'll say one more thing, you know, I think one of the things that's the most heartbreaking around, you know, in particular, the war on Gaza and the war on the Palestinian people is the inability for people to see themselves in these situations. And I think that's what war does, is it makes you not be able to see yourself, so that you can just constantly be like somebody else's deserving of the atrocities. It's an unnatural state of being. And I think it will only lead to more destruction of everybody. And I really hope that we can stop saying okay to things that we would never want to happen to us. Right. We, with all of our strength and creativity and transformational powers, transform our governments into thinking that it is ever okay for them to spend the currencies that we have all created together on the demise of a people and on the demise of the planet.
Right. You know, one of the things I think about in terms of the magic that is music is addressing that specific piece around not being able to feel. You know, our emotions oftentimes get churned off. And there's like, in my opinion, there's a lot of different reasons. Some are survival mechanisms. Art for me is my way of allowing myself to open and an offering for others to open. You know, we can't take those actions unless we feel the urgency.
That's right.
So do you feel like music helps to do that for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, music helps me do everything. I ain't done nothing but been a musician my entire life. I'm really grateful. I'm so grateful. I can't even tell you. It really helps me. I have very few answers to the state of the world right now, the bad parts. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a little stunned, you know, to be honest. The cycle we're in, without some really abrupt determination to stop it, activity is like a cycle that will last into the 30s. That's right. I think we're like moseying along and, you know, with it. you know, but at some point we have to do like the most daring things. Mm-hmm. I think that is, I'm just astonished. So whatever I'm doing, I'm going to be singing at the same time.
Listen to the full episode of this podcast at therhythmofrebellion.com. Thanks for listening.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
One ringy dingy. Is this Mr. Hoover? Mr. Jedgar Hoover? Good. Then I have reached the party to whom I am speaking. Mr. Hoover, this is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company. It is my duty, Mr. Hoover, to discuss with you some of the abuses of your instrument. Yes. Yes, it does sound rather un-American, doesn't it? Now then, Mr. Hoover, I have your file here before me. Oh, yes, I'm sure that you have a file on me, too. After all, turnabout is fair play. Yes, it does sound perverted. Now then. Mr. Hoover, I have a find that you and your agents have indulged in the illegal and unfair practice of wiretapping. Wiretapping. Oh, Mr. Hoover, listening to other people's conversations. Oh, how do I know? From listening to your calls, that's how I know. Oh, no. Mr. Hoover, don't be rude. I'll make a loud noise into my mouthpiece and perhaps deafen you for life. Now, Mr. Hoover, may I ask, do you have a telephone directory handy? Good. Let us turn to page VIII and recite in unison. It is a crime under both federal and state law to use a telephone for annoying or harassing purposes, or to knowingly permit a phone under one's control to be used for such purposes. This includes calls in which the caller remains silent, etc., 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 etc. Oh, you do know the law, Mr. Hoover. Now, Jedgar, listen. Is there anybody at your place listening in? Everybody, good. Let's get right to the nitty-gritty. There's absolutely no reason for your people to skulk about, electronically speaking. You can get all the information you need from us. Probably a lot more accurately, too. Good. Good, then we will be in touch. Oh, and Mr. Hoover, before you go, I must tell you how much I admire your vacuum cleaner. Hello? Mr. Hoover? Well, why do you suppose he got so huffy? I was just being complimentary. Everybody knows there's nothing like a Hoover when you're dealing with dirt.
That was Lily Tomlin with the FBI from her record, This Is a Recording.
And I think I'm gonna love you for a long, long time. Caught in my fears, thinking back the tears.
and I think it's gonna hurt me for a long, long time. Wait for the day you'll go away, knowing that you warned me of the price I have to pay. And life's full of flaws. Who knows the cost? Living in the memory of a love.
Next year's 2023 music from Deerhoof. The song is called Sit Down and Let Me Tell You a Story.